Sarah Cohen has built her career studying invasive marine species. But even this San Francisco State University professor admits to some unique hurdles when working with Sitka's most unwelcome visitor, D-Vex.
The first thing we faced after kind of brainstorming about different things to try for killing them was, gee, how do we assess if they're dead or not? And that's just, you know, if you're used to working on fish, that's not something that you get challenged by.
Still, Cohen has found some level of appreciation for the curious life form.
Some of us think it's gorgeous, but...
But to the untrained eye, D-Vex looks like something only a mother could love.
It was described as sea vomit by some people in Alaska after seeing the way that it grows is these dripping mats, kind of whitish to yellowish to tan or grayish, and it just coats the surfaces of things on the bottom or net pens or anything it grows on. And as it gets heavy, it forms these dripping, they look like stalactites coming down from the roof of a cave or something.
D-Vex looks like a single uniform blob, but it's actually a tightly knit group of thousands of tiny animals. Each animal is about the size of a pencil lead. They're called tunicates because they're nestled under a shared membrane, or tunic. These animals spend their entire adult lives in one place, latched onto a rock, net, or the hull of a ship. They feed by filtering microscopic food particles out of the water. This particular invader has been known to science for only about the last 10 years. In that time, D-Vex has astonished biologists with its ability to thrive in vastly different environments. Thought to have originated in Japan, D-Vex has shown up in New Zealand, both coasts of the United States, British Columbia, and Northern Europe. And like many marine invasives, it has probably been making its way from port to port by hitching a ride on shipping vessels. Once established, it has proven that it can carpet the sea floor, covering thousands and thousands of acres of underwater real estate. Marnie Chapman is an associate professor of marine biology at the University of Alaska Southeast. Chapman got to see how fast D-Vex colonies can grow firsthand. She had been using a mesh bag to transport samples when she noticed a few tiny fragments left behind.
And it was amazing. In 2 weeks it was much larger. 2 weeks after that it was much larger. In about, 2.5 months, it was huge. It covered the whole laundry bag. It was dripping down from the laundry bag and dripping down to the bottom below out there at Whiting.
This dripping is the main reason why eradicating D-Vex is so difficult. Once a fragment breaks off and lands on a new spot, it can actually seed an entire new colony. In fact, the way D-Vex grows and spreads reminded Chapman of a more notorious blight in the world of biology.
I was taking a graduate course on cancer biology at the time, and it just struck me some of the similarities, the quickness with which it spreads, the way that it doesn't respect boundaries within the area that it's growing, and just sort of its ability to morph into different shapes and take over its area.
Researchers have discovered a few D-Vex weaknesses that may guide eradication efforts. The Smithsonian Environmental Research Center conducted some experiments in Sitka to see how well D-Vex could survive under different challenging conditions. A research center biologist, Linda McCann, subjected pieces of D-Vex to low oxygen, fresh water, extra salty water, or bleach. According to McCann, plain old sea salt, but at much higher concentrations than you typically find in the ocean, was a surprisingly effective weapon against D-Vex, at least on a small scale.
Last summer, we went back and tried to scale up and do this on the seafloor, and we found that even trying to do this in a very small area, that there were some issues with the salt dissipating very rapidly so that the salinity would go back down to the natural salinity very quickly. So that's something that we would have to address.
Humans have found some help getting rid of D-Vex. Chapman and other local Sitkins, including Carrie Hisaoka, Paul Norwood, and Jasmine Shaw, have documented a snail species that feeds on living D-Vex. Scientists want to know a lot more about how D-Vex grows, spreads, and affects local species. An important question for the Sitka area is how it will affect the survival and development of herring eggs that may settle on it during spawning. Linda Shaw works for the National Marine Fisheries Service in Juneau. She says DVEC's research is ongoing, but it's not her top priority.
And that's sort of a principle of invasive species management. You want to control it first and then research it.
Chapman agrees her priority is getting DVEC's out of Sitka.
The more esoteric aspects of its biology might be fascinating, and I'd love to study it forever, but somewhere else other than here in Sitka.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ellen Chenoweth.